Corinthians. So if you would turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to begin our reading in verse 12. The study that we're going to be engaged in is entitled The Body of Christ. The Body of Christ. And now let's read this. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. That there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Now in this passage of Scripture, the Apostle Paul likens the Corinthian church to a human body. What he says about the church at Corinth may be applied equally to every true church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think it's important to see the last verse I read. He said, now ye. Now, who is he talking to? Who are the ye? Who does this plural pronoun identify? Well, go all the way back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. So he identifies, now ye are the body of Christ, ye that comprise the church of God which is at Corinth. Now, the members of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church comprise the body of Christ, which meets on Buffalo Creek Road. I remember when I was first saved, I had no prejudice in reading the Bible. I had never really been taught anything at all about the church. And when I read, I can remember vividly reading the book of 1 Corinthians for the first time and coming to the conclusion that a church is made up of all different kind of members. And I thought to myself, some people are like a nose, some are like eyes, some are like feet, others are like hands, but we're part of a body with Jesus Christ as the head. And I thought, that's like our church at Wilmington Baptist. We're made up of a lot of different kinds of people, but we are a body of Jesus Christ. Now that goes completely contrary to what I call the majority opinion of religion, of Protestants, that Protestants have entertained since, well, about the 1600s, 1600s. Martin Luther really came up with some version of what many people call the universal, invisible church. And by extension, the universal, invisible body of Christ. Now, I've never bought into that. In fact, if you look at every single metaphor, wherever the church is described as something, here it's a body. In Ephesians 5, it's like a bride. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, or chapters 1, 2, and 3, it's like a candlestick or a lampstand. In Ephesians 2, it's likened unto a building. In Luke 11, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock." It's likened unto a flock of sheep. Every single metaphor suggests to you something that is visible, something that's put together. All right? And that's what a church is. It is a local, visible congregation of baptized believers who have been put together by God. God adds to the body that particular membership as it pleases Him. So, I have never believed in my entire Christian life, I have never believed in a universal, invisible church that has never met, that has no pastor, has never taken up an offering, has never observed the ordinance of baptism or the Lord's Supper. The universal, invisible church has never sent out a missionary. They have never helped somebody in the local community. They have never paid a preacher. I've often thought about these guys that believe in a universal, invisible church. That's where they ought to get their paycheck from. They ought to get their pay from that universal, invisible church. I wonder if they really would believe that from then on. Because it's really, they call it the mystical body. I call it the mythical body. It's not in the Bible. You say, well, why has this idea, and listen, it has infected Baptist circles as well. Where has this idea gained so much steam? Why? I mean, to me, you read 1 Corinthians 12, it's as plain as the nose on my face or the nose on a body. That he's talking about how a local, visible congregation, how they function, how they act, how they're to treat one another, what their responsibilities are. I mean, to me, it's as clear, it's as plain as if you just read it as it reads, that it is definitely a church. in the biblical sense. So how do Baptists start coming along and believe in this universal body, the idea of a universal invisible church? I'm going to tell you who gave this the most punch among independent Baptists. It was a guy by the name of C.I. Scofield. Now, can I say a word about C.I. Scofield? He was never a real Baptist to start with. I believe that he was a hyper-dispensationalist. I mean, he cuts the Bible up in so many ways. And many Baptists in the early 1900s, I think the first Scofield Bible may have come out in 1903 or 1909, something like that. And fundamental Baptists who, I mean, at that time, you got to remember, in the early 1900s, what was going on in Baptist churches, there was some real fighting going on. The Southern Baptist churches were beginning to have liberalism creep into them. And as a result, there was a reaction. And it was the movement many call fundamentalism. And they said, we stand for the five fundamentals of the faith, the authority of scriptures, the virgin birth, the work of Christ, salvation by grace. Well, I believe all that. But they also began to do away with the integrity and the autonomy of the local New Testament church. C.I. Scofield brought out a Bible. He wrote notes in it. His comments on this passage of Scripture taught the mystical body of Christ. Unfortunately, Baptists, a great number of them, were not strong enough. They were not taught by their pastors that that was heresy. That Baptists historically always believed in baptism by immersion in water by the authority of a church, not some mystical spirit baptism. Okay? They believed in a local visible assembly. But many, many, many Baptists swallowed the heresies of C.I. Scofield, hook, line, and sinker, because they liked a lot of what he taught on prophecy. Now, generalities. I believe that there's going to be a restoration of Israel. I would agree with C.I. Scofield on that. I believe that there's going to be a rapture, a tribulation, a millennium. But he cut up the Bible. He made the three or four ways of being saved in different dispensations. That is heresy. Wherever you see that, mark a red flag ought to go off in your mind. That is heresy. There's only one gospel and only one way of salvation. So the roots of accepting this mystical, universal, invisible body of Christ really got its oomph, if you will, through the C.I. Scofield Bible. Now, the teaching of a universal church has been around as long as the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church, you know what the word Catholic means? It means universal. So what's the difference between what they believe and what Protestants believe on the body of Christ? Well, they believe that the Catholic Church is the visible, the universal visible church with the Pope as the functioning head. Okay? And all Catholic churches comprise the one true universal Catholic Church. So that idea, it has been around since as long as you've had popery. Not potpourri. That came along quite a bit later. But popery. In other words, the idea that a pope was the head of the church really started around 300 AD and then gained steam over the centuries. Then what happened? Well, you had Martin Luther nailed his, was it 95 theses? Whatever. And this past year was the 500th anniversary of Martin Luther nailing that to the church, the door of the church at Wittenberg. I didn't celebrate it because I'm not a Lutheran. I'm not a Protestant. But Martin Luther, because he broke away from the Catholic Church, he could no longer embrace the idea of a universal, visible church. So Martin Luther came up with the idea of a universal, invisible church made up of all believers. So it was a little different take, and it really gained quite a bit of popularity among Protestants. In fact, if you were to talk to your average church member, they would tell you, yeah, I believe the body of Christ includes everybody that's ever been saved. It's wrong. That's the family of God. You're born into the family through the new birth. You're not born into the church. Regeneration is associated with the family of God, and it has nothing to do with baptism. Nothing whatsoever. A person can be regenerated, born of the Spirit, washed in the blood of the Lamb, justified from all things, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and not even be a member of a church of any kind. So, well, show me one guy in the Bible like that. The thief on the cross. Their response was, yeah, but that was a different dispensation. It was the New Testament. Jesus Christ was right there. So, don't give me that. Person who is saved and going to heaven does not have to be a member of the Lord's church or any church for that matter to get to heaven. You just need to know Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. Now, a lot of different theories on the body of Christ, even Baptists. They'll say, yeah, well, we believe that a church is a local body, but it's part of the big body. It's a body within a body. And I start thinking like, you know, what is this something out of, did they get that from the science fiction movie, was it Alien? Where the guy had a body and another body came out of him? There's no such thing as a body within a body. Okay? You, Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, you are the body of Christ. You function in this place under the headship of Jesus Christ. You observe the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper. You engage in missionary activity. You preach the gospel to every creature. And we start in our Jerusalem right here, and then we go out and we spread out through mission work. You do that. Not something part of some mystical thing that has headquarters somewhere. No. You are an independent, autonomous body of Christ. Right here, right now. Now, tonight we're going to look at, well, we may not get to all of it, but I wanted to introduce that way to show you really have to be taught the idea of a universal, invisible, mystical church. That has to be taught somewhere, because you're not going to accept it if you just read your Bible. If you don't read Protestant literature, you start reading the Bible, you're going to find out, oh, there's a church at Jerusalem. That church at Jerusalem, their mission activity spread out. They went as far as Antioch. They organized a church in Antioch. And guess what? Then in Acts 13, that church at Antioch, they sent out some more missionaries. And they began to start Baptist churches. That's what the book of Acts is about. There wasn't no universal invisible church taught in the book of Acts. They were bodies. Plural. Revelation talks about the churches of Christ. There were seven of them. Seven churches in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. Now, I'm not a math genius, but seven does not equal one. Right? Each individual church was a local, visible body. Now, the nature of the body of Jesus Christ. And many have attempted to twist the Scriptures in order to set forth a perverted and mystical view of the New Testament church. Most would interpret this passage as a reference to something that has never existed in time or space or Scripture. There is no such thing as a universal, invisible church that's made up of all believers. The context itself refutes that idea. Read 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 and 26. This virtually destroys any semblance of a universal church, where it says that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another, and whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now think about that. Those verses completely destroy the idea of a universal invisible church. These admonitions, by practical application, are in reality an impossibility and unable to be applied in a literal sense to a universal invisible church. It's impossible. I mean, I have no idea what believers in Uganda, what those believers are going through tonight. Or are there any churches in Iceland? I don't know. Or believers in Iceland? Maybe. But this kind of concern, care, compassion can only be exercised among people that you meet with, that you know intimately, that you share burdens and prayer requests with, that you converse with, so that you know, hey, this brother, his kids are sick, and they're sorrowing over it. Well, we as a membership, we're going to sorrow with them. This brother, he got a promotion at work and going to be able to tithe a lot more now. Oh, let's rejoice with him. Yeah. But the point I'm making is, when you make this by way of practical application, this has to be done in a body. Something that's put together. Something that functions under the headship of Jesus Christ. It can only be applied to a local body. One other to me, this is a clear one where they take this out of context. Turn over to Acts 20, 28. It says, now, you know who Paul's talking to here, right? He's talking to the elders in the Ephesian church. Now, here's what he instructs them. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock. What flock is that? Verse 17, and from Miletus he went to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. The flock that he's referring to is the church at Ephesus. Now, let's try to apply this to the idea of a universal invisible church. All right? Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the elect. All the saved that comprise the universal, invisible, mystical church over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. Did the Lord make the elders of the church at Ephesus to be the overseers of the universal, invisible, mystical body of Christ? Is that possible? To do what? To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Now, a lot of people pull that, oh man, that's a beautiful reference to universal invisible church. That's heresy. It's completely destroyed by the context and the meaning of the words in this verse. This can only happen in a local visible assembly of believers. See? Their mandate to feed the church of God, he meant you feed the church at Ephesus, in which you are elders. That was the scope of their minister, pastoral ministry, if you will. It didn't go beyond that. Again, words mean something. Now, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul did not say that the church at Corinth was part of the body of Christ. He did not say that they were a small part of something much bigger. No, he specifically refers to the church at Corinth as the body of Christ in that location. Now, the very nature of a body necessitates that. What does that conjure up in your mind? A body. A living, breathing organism that is visible, that is put together or assembled, that's able to carry out various responsibilities and functions. Likewise, the church, the body of Christ, is a living organism comprised of different people united together under the direction of a head, the Lord Jesus, who is the head of each local body. Look over with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, this is another one that blows the idea of a universal church right out of the water. And I like doing that. I like blowing that right out of the water. I think it's a heretical teaching that has duped so many people, and it has, what it's done is it has really lessened the importance and the work of what a church is supposed to do. And what it is. But look at here. Look what this says in 1 Corinthians 14, 23. He says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, What does that imply? That the church, the body, it comes together in one place. It's not scattered. It's a congregation. It comes together. There's no way in the world that can refer to a universal invisible church. Where's the address? Give me the address. I'll plug it in to my GPS. And I want to visit this universal church where they meet together. When that whole church meets together in that one place, give me the address, the name of the pastor. I'd like to meet them. We say, you're just being ridiculous. I am. Because this teaching is ridiculous. Now, what shocks you is that a Baptist preacher would get up and say this so forcefully. We need more of that. I'm not going to back up an inch from the people that teach a universal invisible church. Because I believe it is completely contrary to Scripture. Now, this is regarding tongues, and that's a whole other sermon. You know what a tongue is, right? I'm not talking about this tongue. Glossalia is language. And in the early churches, one way that that the Lord validated the authority that He was vesting in these churches and in the work that they were doing, He'd give people the ability, throw one more little wrench in. He gave men in the churches the ability to speak in different languages. Corinth was a seaport city. All kinds of different people came through there. On any given assembly, you may have somebody there from Portugal, somebody from Spain. And I don't know what all those countries speak, but they would be able to speak in their language. And somebody in the congregation would be able to interpret it so that they knew what they were saying. How hard is that? It's very simple. It wasn't gibberish. You know, but that's a whole other story, a whole other sermon. But again, if the whole church be come together in one place, he regarded the church at Corinth, the body of Christ, to be the whole church. Not part of something bigger, but they were considered an autonomous, independent church and body in and of themselves. Every human body responds to the commands of the brain or the head. The brain or the head is the command center of the body. If a body is to work correctly, each part must submit to the commands of the head. There is something seriously wrong when the various parts of the body do not respond to the commands of the head. Likewise, every member of the local church is to be in submission to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to obey His commands if we are to function effectively. He is to have the preeminence in the body. Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. A body is made up of various members that are distinct and diverse from one another, yet united together as a whole. Each member of the body is essential to the well-being of the whole. Each part is important to the whole. Which means there are no unimportant members of the Lord's body. In fact, I believe that God sovereignly adds to the body as it pleases Him. So everybody has been selected by God to be part of that particular body. So tonight we covered the nature of the body. What it's not. Not universal, invisible. It is local, visible assembly of parts that make up a body. I mean, if I were to say to you, hey, I want to talk to you about a body that you can't see. It's got a lot of members, but you can't see them. They're scattered all over the place. Everywhere. All throughout the world. You'd think, wow, man. You know what? That's spooky. Yeah, I'm telling you, when you really get down to it, the idea of a universal invisible church, it's a spooky church. Because it has no real visible existence. We'll pick up next week with how you get into the body. All right?
All right, let's go to the Lord.